We got birds.
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Why do birds suddenly appear?
They were always there, watching you, waiting.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Fangs and Fonts with your hosts, Roland.
I'm Ocean.
I'm Voice.
And I'm Yanara.
Today, we get to talk about self-worth and the unknown writer. Essentially, the quest for recognition as a writer in the fandom and our insecurities surrounding
it. Not even just the fandom, just...
In general.
As a writer, okay, as a writer in general.
We've written things and put them out there for everyone to see, either it was published or online. Obviously, the next step we want is someone to read it, right? Is that enough? That's all we want, right? Is someone to read it.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, but how do you know they're reading it?
What if you put your story up and you told somebody to read it, and they went, cool, I read it.
I would be displeased.
Right? Mission accomplished. That's what you wanted. You wanted someone to read it? They read it.
Yep, yeah. I read it. Hey, great. I read your story.
Thanks.
And
I read it.
Yeah, I read it.
Say you wanted me to review it. You said you wanted me to read it.
Yeah, but...
Oh, now you want me to tell you what I thought of it?
If you tell somebody that you went
and
saw...
Come on!
If you go and see a movie, it's not like you're going to be like, yeah, I saw that movie.
I do that all the time.
No, honestly, if someone says, what'd you think of that movie? And you say, I saw it. All I can think of is, well, that sucks.
Yeah, because immediately you think that they are displeased with it.
I think saying nothing about, like, ultimately doing nothing speaks more than, like, actually saying, oh, yeah, you know.
It was okay.
Even just, it's okay. I liked it. Like, gives you some sort of definitive answer as to whether or not somebody enjoyed your particular piece of work.
Yeah. Did you read my story? What'd you think? It was all right.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I think that's just almost as bad.
This is what people hate is when I go, it was fine.
Yeah, I'll turn around and you can kick the other side of
because
my
that's
now.
Like...
I'm sorry, it's just...
Next to saying nothing, saying something is fine is like the ultimate dismissive answer or response.
Like, the part that I don't understand is do we have to deal with outliers? It has to be amazing or it has to... Well, it sucked.
Well, that's...
And I'm not going to say it sucked.
That's
and
part of the conversation
suck.
We're
if it
having.
Sucked, I'd tell you it sucked.
It wasn't.
That's why you should just every response should just be like a star review. It was like 4 out of 5.
it was 3 out of 5.
If it was about dealing with absolutes, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
No, everything would be burning.
much like that person on Fallout.
I'm dying. Oh no, I'm okay.
It's like what did you think of the new Mad Max movie? 5 out of 5 stars. It was fine.
Well, like. Sometimes your only response is, well, some cars blew up.
Well, boom!
But, you know...
It pissed off a lot of male... pro-male versus female people.
Pro-Magnon versus female?
I mean, this kind
you
of...
You should actually go watch it first.
His mom was raving about it on the phone the other day.
Like, this kind of goes into the whole, like, compliment sandwich thing, where when people ask you what you thought of your story, they want to hear something good. That's why they're asking you.
Do they?
Or do you just
want feedback?
Possibly some more pragmatic if people are looking for feedback and criticism.
I think it's one thing if someone actually seeks out that recognition. If like I sit there and go, you know, hey, did you read my story? What did you think? Because I'm actively seeking out something. Then I think...
Please read and review this.
That means I am some way desperate for you to acknowledge that it was at least mediocre to good.
It's an interesting choice of words.
I know I have people and they're like, hey, do you want to read this story? And then I have to stop and go, do you want me to beta read this story? Or do you just want to give me this story so I can read it? Because that is two very different things.
You have to put yourself in a completely different mindset.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to ask somebody who's just picked up this anthology and read it, to like who isn't a reviewer or isn't somebody previously a beta reader. I'm not going to ask them for constructive criticism. Typically, I'm asking... to go, what did you think of this? You know, maybe what didn't you like or what did you like? But the general overall opinion.
Did you like it or not? And did you feel anything? I think they're the two main things.
I would rather, in case if someone reads like my story in the anthology, and I go, and they, you know, I sit there and, oh, did you read this anthology? Yeah, yes. Oh, did you read my story? Yes. I think I would rather they put forward any compliments, negativity, whatever, rather than me actively seeking it out. Like, if, you know, it's like, oh, you read the story? Awesome. And if I leave it at that, then if they actually felt the need to point out something, then they'll say something. If they don't care, then they don't. Well, then, yeah, I'll feel a little bit pissed off. But at the same point, I'm not looking like I'm
fishing
for that compliment.
I'm still stuck on the it's fine. And I give that out a lot because, you know, there's a lot of things out there where, you know, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't amazing. You know, that if you talk about law of averages, then that's most things are fine, are they not?
I think it's the kind of like the average versus mediocre. They yeah. both mean the exact same thing. It's just mediocre has a negative connotation to it. Where it's just literally like just people have used it so often that it's...
This is why I just don't like it when people go like, what did you think about it? I prefer, I'm like, can you just give me a more direct question like, did you feel this character did this? I'm applying for this anthology. Did you think it would fit well in this? Because I can't go,
I have it's a weakness fine on for this spot.
I can go,
do anything about yeah, this.
I can be like, for Trick or Treat, I'm like, well, I can see the scary elements in there. I think this might work. I'm not sure if this will work. I don't, like, the whole story could be mediocre to me. But I can tell you what aspects of it I think about it.
By the same token, you're not trying to ask leading questions when you do something like that. If you go, well, did you feel that this character did this? And then that causes them to think about it a little bit more, giving a biased answer. So if yeah. I ask you, what do you think? It's for your overall opinion.
But I think you can do it without leading questions. Like, I can go, what do you think about character X? And then as you start to talk, I can pick up things and then ask more direct questions about that. But it's a lot better than going, what did you think about it?
See, I would ask those kinds of questions if I were still in the editing phase.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But
yeah,
once if it's I'm asking a reader published. What they thought about my story, I'm not going to be like, well, what did you think about character X? Because I'm not going back to write it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree there. We kind of have two situations here where it's like pre and post-publishing.
It's a need for validation that you're trying to get from other people, whether it be about what you can do better next time to make your stories better, or getting recognition that you crave or feel you might deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe not even deserve. Maybe it's desire is the other.
There's a reason I said feel, because yeah. whether or not it's warranted, you feel like you deserve some sort of recognition. You've spent hours on this story. You want people to enjoy it.
I don't know. This just sounds...
It's absolutely petty.
Let's go.
I'm not denying it, but that works.
I'm not denying it, but I mean,
I don't like that. It's that you say that it's like we feel we deserve this. It would
people
more
crave
be like,
validation to a point.
It would, but I kind of like the whole. It would be something that you'd appreciate or that you desire instead of saying you're owed.
I'm not going to pretend like I'm selfless. Like I'm just putting it in the most literal terms that I can.
Fair enough.
Okay, so let's go a little bit more in depth into what came about to start this discussion. Is that a lot of the times there's anthology reviews, and generally we kind of get two flavors out in our neck of the woods. Three, you're going to say? Three? Okay, I'll say two, and you tell me what the third one is.
Okay.
Now, the one, and this is the one that I think Fred's been doing lately, and like him or hate him, I think it's, I'm fine with his method, but it's go through, if there's a reasonable about a smaller amount of stories, he'll explain what he talks about the theme of the anthology. He will then give a small summary of all the stories, probably point out during it which one he thought is the best. And then at the end, give a summary. I think that this anthology worked. And then, you know, again, this is the story I thought was the best. I believe he's gone and said, I'm just not going to say anything negative about them. You know, that's up for other people to decide. I can tell you which I enjoyed, which makes sense. And then there's the other side where some people believe you don't have to say anything about all the stories in the anthology. And this is the one that seems to be causing the problem. And I'm going to quote air quotes problem because this isn't a problem. But you say someone else will review an anthology and they'll be, I really liked these three stories in it. Mm. And then they won't say anything else about the other stories. Now, sometimes, you know, you've got an anthology like The Furry Future, which had, what, 16, 17, 19 stories in it, I think? Mm. It was something large. And we've got Roar 6 coming out soon, which has, I think, 27 or 28. It's a long list of contents in that one. So I you know, for something like that, it's not really, I don't know if it's reasonable, and we'll probably discuss this in a second, to review or say something about every story. But for the ones where it's smaller, like, say, a Trick or Treat or something, where it's more like 10 or 11, then it's a little more debatable. Yeah. So tell me what the third one is now.
Basically not talking about the stories individually at all and just reviewing the anthology as a full whole. It makes for a very short review, but you're basically going, here's X anthology.
So here's what gets the theme
is. No one gets pointed out as this is an awesome story, or they just say, or a bad story.
There was a story that did this very well, but won't say which story by who.
Some stories do this very well. Some stories do this poorly. Overall, the general feel of the... It's more of treating it as if it were, say, a novel versus separating it into its separate stories.
How do you feel about that type of review?
I've done all three. When I do the generalized one, it's either because there's too many stories, I just don't care.
That's a good, or I'm good being sign.
Really lazy. And generally it's a case of those last two where I'm being lazy and it's, I also just don't care. Like, it's an anthology that I've read and it's like, this is a good anthology all in all, but none of the stories really stuck out and they all just kind of blended in together. And yeah, so here's...
And do you prefer that over Fred's version?
Or
they're kind of debatable.
Fred's version is more of the go through everything, right? And the good and the bad and what. And not in Fred's point, but usually when you do a review of all the stories, you point out the ones that worked, the ones that didn't work, and the ones that hit the middle ground.
Versus just giving a small short bit about each story?
Yeah. Because generally summarizing in a review is kind of not really a review.
Cop out.
You're just summarizing. But because it's almost better to go into a... story, like when you're reviewing all of them, to sit there and be like, here is this story by this person. This is what they did well. This is what they didn't do well. This is what I thought. Next story. Because at that point, if you're doing that many stories, you've got to keep each review relatively short, or you're going to end up with like 20 pages of review. And no one reads that.
Except the author. And
except
if you,
the
if you made each individual story like easily definable in your review, people might read bits of it, but
yeah,
like people post TLDR summaries for like three fucking paragraphs. It's ridiculous.
So really what's happening is that occasionally a new review comes out from anyone, this is, we've mostly just seen this from anthologies because it's a bit of a louder cry when you've got, you know, more authors versus one. Because this can happen with a novel, too. Someone can put out a novel, and it's out there, but no one will read it or review it. But they're just one person versus a collection more. So I think it just gets a little more voice because there's more people.
It sticks out more with an anthology because you're noticing... You get a few more
grumbles.
Yeah.
But, like, for our case, we were both in the furry future. And then there's been a few reviews where my story's been mentioned, but yours has not. And you... How does that make you feel?
Ignored.
Ignore it. And that's kind of been the general sense from other people I've heard, where they're like, well, I guess my story was just filler. An anthology needs filler.
You see, and that's my fear. It's maybe it wasn't a story that was chosen for its quality, but instead it was chosen over the others because they needed to make a word count, and mine just wasn't that bad to kick out, but it wasn't that great to really notice or review.
So,
or was it even read? You know, did they read the first page and go, I'm bored, and just move on with it? You don't know if they've even read it.
You really don't think an editor would read the story before putting it in?
No, not an editor.
Oh, the reviewer. A reviewer. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So is the fact that the editor thought it wasn't worthwhile enough to put it in the anthology, that's not enough?
But was it? Again, we've had this with, you know, insecurities as writers.
That's why we're having this whole topic, is this question.
Exactly.
Because so really, this what it boils down to.
Was I just word filler, or did I actually merit a place in this anthology?
But you've already, you're one step above all the other people who are rejected. Like, you crafted something, you made a work that you were paid money for, have your name recognized in a book that's sold around the world now, but that's...
Let's compare this to the whole being accepted thing until you get rejected. Because when you get into an anthology, you're like, yes, I got into an anthology. This is awesome. People are going to see my stuff and it's going to be great. And then you're waiting. It's like, you know, a 6-year-old on Christmas. You're waiting for that review that goes, I read this story and this, this, and this happened, and I thought this was good, etc. And then you realize you're under the Christmas tree and your presents just aren't there. Like, you're looking for this recognition and it's nowhere to be found, and that's disappointing.
I think I know where Roland sits on this.
but again, like, for me, I'm the Christmas present for me is that acceptance letter.
There's a tree, I'm happy.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm in the same.
My story found a place.
Yeah, pretty much. Because, I mean, well,
like,
yeah.
So,
well, don't get me wrong. I'm ecstatic that I'm accepted, but it still does twitch a little bit with those insecurities that I don't merit recognition. I don't merit, hey, this was enjoyable. Like, even that would be nice.
Like you say you don't care, but I mean, like, for the people that do,
it's
not
sting.
Being mentioned is...
Or if you do get mentioned, it's something asinine, like the gayest of the gay thing I've ever given the gay.
Or getting your character's name wrong, or the summary wrong, or just the general overall concept.
Drug habits
of the
wrong.
Story wrong, yeah.
But how does that sound to all the people who were rejected for that anthology?
It's
that the person who
teeth.
Got in it is like, well...
But I've read reviews for anthologies that I didn't get accepted into.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would honestly feel detached from that because I'm not in it.
I'm not part of it. Yeah.
It doesn't affect me.
It's,
really?
It's not my writing.
So,
it was just my story choice.
I wasn't good enough
point.
To get into that anthology, but this author who did get in is complaining that no one cares about their story, which they got paid for. They got put in. Their story was picked over mine.
Because sometimes it's just the story content. Like, how many times have we been rejected because... the story just doesn't fit with what they've already got.
I don't know.
You can be rejected for any number of reasons, but...
I almost didn't make it into Furry Future because my story was too close to another story, apparently.
Mm.
But I still wrote it, I finished it, and I submitted it.
Well, it's like my story for Blood Types, where from when I got my initial acceptance letter, it was kind of... If you read it a certain way, it's very easy to interpret that... You know, they weren't sure if they were initially going to accept it because it was completely different than what was else in there. And then thankfully I got the one review where it was like it and one other story were the most original stories in there and all the other ones were crap.
Mm-hmm. So would you rather have been rejected then?
No, of course not. I like adding the books I'm into my collection.
I really don't think the two experiences are comparable.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
I'm with Roland. I don't believe that being accepted and being recognized for your effort are synonymous.
It sounds like...
You can't have one because you got the other.
I can just see how someone can take this as whiny. That's what I
want
to just make
sure. What it seems to be implying is that we're ungrateful for not appreciating somebody else's review because it either paints us in a negative light or... Not at all.
Mm-hmm. So then going back to the reviews, do you feel that something has to be said about every story in the anthology?
You know, I would be honest to God happy with I enjoyed reading it. Yeah. This wasn't my top favorite.
One sentence.
I believe, like, and like I said, a summary for me is a cop-out because there is no opinion and no review in that. You've just told people what has happened in the story and now they don't have to read it. I don't agree with summaries to be a valid review format.
You can say to each their own for reviewing. Like, you don't have to review every story, but, you know, if you're asking me, do I think reviewers should review the book as a whole? Like, and that means pretty much every story. Yeah, I'd prefer it.
Think for Roar 6 coming out with 28 stories...
That's an anomaly.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Furry Future with 19?
That's a little large, too, but it's not bad.
You've read the whole
book
anyway.
But it had people complaining about it who weren't...
If the story isn't...
If we go outside the fandom, if you look at things like the...
Like the great...
Like, take the big...
Diesel
the big
Punk
anthologies,
book?
The Mammoth Book of Diesel Punk, where there is, like, 30 to 50 stories in this. The guy went through 200-plus submissions for it. Or, you know...
Andre Norton goes through this constantly.
As someone who constantly reviews things, when you end up hitting something like one of the Mammoth books, or even a well-sized anthology, it gets, especially while you're reading it, really hard to keep certain stories in your mind. Because there is nothing that feels worse when you're like, I'm going to review all the stories in this book. You finish the book, and you're like, okay, I'm going to write the review. And you go back to the table of contents, and you're like... this story, and this story. What happened in them again?
But you also keep a book with you when you read bigger stories. Well, you used to.
I remember that being a point in previous episodes.
Well, yeah, when I wanted to review big, like when I wanted to make a point of it, and generally I'll do it for like furry anthologies if I'm doing it that just for that sake. Then yeah, I will write down a summary of what I thought of that story. And in some cases, if they're small enough, I can remember when I go back. Usually I'll remember the stories I hated more than the stories that I absolutely loved. But when it gets into larger anthologies, it's really hard to kind of sit there and be like, okay, I'm going to review all the stories. Oh, that means I've got to do 30, you know, reviews or whatnot. And even at two words a review, that's still 30 reviews.
How many was Abandoned Places?
16, 17.
So I think, a larger number. Like, going back to the reviews, looking at something like Fred's reviews, I think Fred's reviewing the book as a whole. And so when, let me finish. So when he does Pulp, because I think that was the last one that I remember for an anthology, he did Pulp. And Pulp is a bit of a wider variety. And he tries to explain a bit about what Pulp is. And then he goes into a summary of the stories. Mm-hmm. To me, that makes sense because there's so many different variety of Pulp stories in there. It's like, hey, do you like Westerns? Well, there's this story.
Yeah.
Hey, do you like Lovecraftian horror Pulps? There's this story. You know, like, there's all the different Pulps in there. And then he gives a summary, and, well, not a summary, he gives his, you know, review, like, I like some of these, I like this, some of these, this was the favorite.
Mm.
Like, is that a cop-out?
And, well,
because he's still reviewing the anthology.
As far as Pulp, I think Pulp is probably one of, if Fred reviewed, like he reviewed Pulp all the time, I would have no issues whatsoever. That was a beautifully done review. Because, yeah, he summarized, but at the same point, his summaries had small, little, like, I liked this, I didn't like this, at least for mine. I will admit, I didn't really pay attention to the reviews for everyone else's stories except for your two.
Well, so I know he can't say for some of them, he can't explain the plot because some of them have twists, you know.
Okay, so in that case, as you were saying, it's really not a cop-out. Because then it's more than just a summary of the story. He's also including more at that point.
I think what Fred's doing, and this is a little bit more of what we can get into topic, is what are the point of the reviews, is that, you know, again, like I go back, do you like a Western story? There's a Western story in here. Do you like something more Indiana Jones? We got that too. We got this.
Okay, that's really
so good it's point. Not. And because, you know, like I could, you know, maybe he read some of the stories. Some of them don't appeal to him as much, but they might appeal to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's able to go, I thought this was the best story.
And that's one of the things that you should do as someone who is reviewing a work is. And it's something that I generally put at the end of my reviews is that I understand if I didn't like something, I understand that I don't like this, but so-and-so may like...
Though some people have called, like, you just shouldn't say anything.
If you don't like a story, I mean, it's like any review. You have to explain why you didn't like a story, but you also have to recognize that there may be someone out there who does like a story. When I reviewed Bellows of the Bone Box, an anthology I was in... one of the comments that was made was that one of the stories in there is not steampunk. This entire anthology is raced around steampunk horror, and there is one story in there where literally the only steampunk element is this box that supposedly can heal people, and it's clockwork. Everything else seems post-apocalyptic, post-modern action. And I read through the entire thing going, I don't see one steampunk element in this except for this. Why is the story in there? Well, clearly the editor felt that it was good enough to have that one steampunk element, and thus it was steampunk. But as someone who's in there and who went through my story a number of times and added steampunk elements to make it more steampunk, I was just like, the shit. And I put that in my review.
So you mentioned it a couple times, the stories that you didn't like, and for example, the story that wasn't steampunk enough, that you've mentioned, you know, why you didn't like a particular story or what you didn't like about a particular story. Mm-hmm. And whereas we're saying that you know, there's, you know, a couple ways you can go about this. You can either shit all over it.
Yeah.
Or you can not mention it at all. Or
A lot of people say
it was okay.
Mm.
I like, do you think that it would be more beneficial just not to mention it at all?
No. For me, if I don't mention, if I'm doing one of the ones where I'm selecting the best and the worst, I flat out state I'm selecting the stories that impacted me the most and the stories positively and negatively. The ones that I don't comment on, I flat out state they are good stories. It's just they did not stand out as much as these gems and these ones that are pieces of crap.
I feel like even a disclaimer like that would make not being mentioned just a little bit more palatable.
I would agree. That makes a lot of sense, just saying that. Because for me, I either prefer that or just going, if you want to do something short, and what a common thing is, like you said, is that people will just go, these three were my favorite stories in the anthology. Well, they're not going to, that doesn't mean that, and this is another debatable point, is would you rather have someone tell you that your story was bad, or would you rather it be in the limbo that it could be anywhere from fine to horrible?
Well, the other option is I've also done reviews where I've reviewed all the stories in there, and literally the reviews for some stories are, this story was all right, there was really nothing that caught my eye in it. All in all, it's an all right story. So
that sounds boring to me.
That sounds worse than not being mentioned at all. That means your story did not stand out and was literally
and is realizing your biggest fears of I was just filler.
I personally think it's worse to not know than it is to feel disappointed because someone either didn't like your story or it was just okay. Like, I would rather know why someone doesn't enjoy something I've written as opposed to having it not mentioned at all.
I think we talked about this with the Pulp review, is that your story on there is summarized by Phil, but one of the commenters under had mentioned that one of the stories they didn't like the endings because it turned into something akin to Dragon Ball Z. And you're like, that's fair, a completely valid point. Yeah.
They're correct. Absolutely. Like,
you seemed happier by that than...
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, their commenting on the ridiculousness of it all is okay. Like, I understood it was ridiculous, and I knew that if I didn't pull it off, it wasn't going to work well or at all.
I think that's part of it, is it depends on what the comments are. If someone doesn't like your story, it depends on how they go about explaining why your story is either mediocre or if it's crap. And if someone sits there and goes, you know, this was boring, nothing happened. There was one story I reviewed in, again, Bellows of the Bone Box, that was basically from start to end, it was nothing but this one character doing these anime things and basically being untouchable. And by the end of it, I looked at it and said, there was absolutely no plot progression. There was actually no, you know, rising action. There was no climax. It was literally a battle from start to finish. And, like, characters would show up and you're like, who the hell are these people? Because they've never been introduced before. They would get a description and that was it. And the story would just continue on. And it was like, the hell's going on?
See, if I read an anthology of 10 stories, 3 I thought were amazing, 2 were actually, like, just bad, and at least 5 stories where I'm like, it was okay, it was okay, it was okay. Like, there's going to be something that's okay in an anthology, isn't there? Not all going to be amazing, blow my socks. If it is, that'd be an amazing anthology.
Well, like...
But each one is compared to the next. There's going to be a first, second, third.
The three of us have... we've all helped build an anthology. And we're all very acutely aware that you have your amazing stories, your just barely made the cut stories, and everything in between. Mm. Like, it's hard to have, like, you can't have an anthology with all good stories. So ultimately, some are going to maybe not
knock your socks
be
off.
Worth mentioning. But, like, nobody likes admitting that their story falls into that category.
Well, it's like children. You don't want to admit which child is your favorite.
Even though you have one.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, shoot your least favorite child right now or I will kill you. And you're like, wait, I can't.
Why did you point at me, Mom?
You're like, because I had second thoughts, like, right up until.
Well, how, when you did AP, now that it's been out and reviewed, How did you find that the reviewers' comments matched your own when you were going through the slush pile?
Fairly.
Their favorite accurately. Ones were your
their,
favorite ones?
Their favorite ones were generally... Well, now, in most
you,
cases...
Not to entrap you into saying, like, yeah, the best ones were the ones they said, too. Oh, crap.
Most of the stories that were mentioned as good were stories that I knew... Like, let's take Ray Chan's story. Mm-hmm. Ray Chan's story is absolutely beautiful. And everyone who has reviewed that anthology has commented on how beautiful that story is. That's why it's the first story in the anthology. I knew it was a good story when I read it. Bahu's story was much the same, except Isaiah didn't like it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you still have those ones that you really, really like that some people just really don't like or enjoy. But generally, yeah, all the reviews pretty much pinned the stories where I already knew they were going to be. That said, there's also been stories that have...
That's really picking up.
Yep.
Is it? Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
I couldn't hear it, so I thought it was okay.
That's why... But then there's stories that, like, barely made the cut or needed a lot of work that people loved. And that took me by surprise.
Okay, so let's move on and go, what is the point of reviewing then? Is it for... And I've heard some authors argue that, you know, the review should be just as much for them as the reader because they want to get their feedback about their story that's already been edited and published.
It's not, though. I mean, a review is for the people that haven't yet picked up the book and maybe for the publishers to see how well their book is doing. Ultimately, it's for the people most removed from the anthology.
Generally, when I review... I'm reviewing for the person who's considering buying that book or anthology. I want them to sit there and look at it and go, okay, what did this get as a review and why? Then, if I'm actually addressing the editor in the review, generally it's because the editor has done something stupidly amazing or has done something really stupidly wrong, like put in a story that has one steampunk element in it.
But ultimately, that information is for the reader because they're the ones picking up the book if they think that the review, you know, is good enough.
Yeah.
So, and this may be our special snowflake with our fandom. Do we want to encourage negative reviews? Or...
Well, we've talked about reviews, yeah. I think, a couple times on the podcast, and I think we've stated that we do want negative reviews to be more we don't want people to actively, we want them to be constructive criticisms, but the reason we want them to be constructive is because we want people to build and become more professional within the fandom so that we reach a certain, past the stigma of, oh, it's furry fiction, it's going to be shit.
See, I don't quite excuse me. I don't quite think constructive criticism and being negative are the same thing.
No. I don't. I think being negative is not the right way to go about it. I think we need
being negative would be like complaining about football as opposed to some more constructive aspects in the story.
Yes. This is true. And I think we need more constructive criticism than we do negativity. The only problem is I think one of the problems, and again, this goes back to the special snowflake, is that in the fandom, I think a lot of people take constructive criticism as negativity and don't look at it as the constructive critique that it is.
Delivery could be a culprit on that.
Yes.
To answer the question, you know, do we want to gear reviews more towards the writers as a means of improving the craft, raising the furry standard, all that stuff. There's a reason that we sort of do what we do within the fandom. You know, there's a reason we write, there's a reason we review, there's a reason, you know, people work full-time jobs and work as a publisher. Like, we want to see this succeed. And I think that there does come a point where our community is so well-knit that this is just a little bit for the writers, too.
And I'll piggyback on that. that's another thing too with reviewing, is there's a lot of furry writers out there that don't go through the three publishers, and they self-pub their work. Like the Vixen Sorceress. Have you ever heard of that series?
Nope.
It's a comic. It's a series of novels. I have seen them at RF once. In all the years I've gone, I picked up the first book to it, and I keep meaning to read it. But it's out there. It's just like Ray-chan introduced me to this high fantasy one about this cheetah or leopard chick. And I hadn't heard of it, and it was published in kind of like the comic book style paper, but it's a novel.
That sounds like it would be a messy read.
Yeah, but at the same point, it's you have all these other writers out there that people aren't paying any attention to because it's not through the big three. So they're harder to get, and people don't have an easy point of walking up to a booth, oh, look at your books. I mean, even Nadook. He has his own booth at RF, but if he wasn't there, how would you find out about him?
Well, obviously he's not advertising properly.
So reviews are good.
Reviews are very good. Reviews are needed.
If you're not mentioned in a review, what should you do?
I don't think there's anything nothing. You can do.
Literally nothing.
I don't think there's anything.
There's nothing you can do. To react to that, that will reflect well on you. So do nothing.
Do nothing. Go whine to your friends.
I agree wholeheartedly with that Nolan's statement.
That is the only answer I have for that.
Realistically, yes. We have a beef with it. It makes us feel like our insecure writers are going, but what about me? But is there something you can do about your insecure little writer crying in your corner? No. Your insecure little writer must continue to cry. Do not approach the reviewer.
It sucks because it's like including yourself in on a conversation that you were never a part of to say, what about me?
Invite yourself to dinner and too while you're at it.
Just how selfish and self-absorbed do you seem?
Or desperate.
It doesn't matter if you feel like your feelings are warranted. Even if they are, you're going to sound petty.
Or insane.
Yeah.
Is it just something that you should take as another level up in the sense that, you know, when you get that acceptance letter, yay, cheers, fanfare. And then when the book comes out and if somebody even reviews it, regardless of good or bad, you can go, yay, more fanfare, I actually got, you know, there's no bad publicity, quote, whatever it is.
Okay, so maybe that's just another fault of me as a writer. I should just accept that the acceptance letter is my pie. And if I get a review, that's just ice cream on my pie.
That's how I like to look at it.
I've had pie, shut up. But again, that's me having to accept that.
There's a reason that professional writers don't read reviews.
Yeah.
Like,
probably don't.
I actually made that example. With the Furry Future, there was a like that one review that just ripped into the anthology and said it was, you know, what is a book? Which is probably not the best way to start a review.
Well, I'll admit, but I haven't read any of the Furry Future reviews because I've been kind of daunted.
But, like, in that one, like, I was talking to Friday because he was in mention that. We're like, holy crap, we got mentioned in a review. And we were like, ran around like little girls because we were so excited. We're like, and it was Phil's review, I think. Because it was like, you know, he goes in like, oh, Dwayne's story was amazing. Like, oh. And so we're like, wow, you know, ice cream was the acceptance. We got whipped cream for getting notice, and Dwayne just gets the cherry on top. You know, it's either way, it's still delicious. It's just, that's how I try it's to more. Look at it, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, it's ultimately short-sighted to be like, oh, I didn't get a review because, yeah, you have your money. You're published. You didn't have to do anything past that. And you would have felt the same if nobody had written a review for the anthology at all.
Yeah, because then you'd be nobody got noticed.
Well, right. It's like what Ocean said, you know, do you warrant it or are you just whining? But I understand it. It's kind of whining.
No, I'm the same. And
like, I think we all want to feel like we're on equal footing, as much as the case may not be sometimes. So ultimately not getting mentioned does suck, but it's part of growing and improving is realizing that there are things you can improve that, you know, maybe you'll get mentioned the next time.
Well, there's an interesting psychological thing, and we could compare this to like the Olympics. You know, Getting accepted means you got good enough to go fly over wherever the Olympics is and compete.
Here's your pass.
But in the Olympics, you never get like a, oh, I wasn't watching, so you don't get a score.
No. Let me finish. Because, you know, you can run. Say you're a runner, right? So you get in the race, you win the preliminaries, you get in the quarters, you get in the semis. And then in that final race, you get second place. Nobody's going to remember you. And they've noticed this. This is called, I think it's something called like silver medal syndrome. Is that the person that gets gold, everybody remembers them. You're amazing. Person that gets bronze, I got something. Yes. Person that got silver, well, what happened?
It's the middle child.
Yeah, you have the middle child. You're just like, if only I had done this, if only this.
So
I
the invisible. Out. The,
and even though you got second place in the entire friggin' world, that you still get a medal, they've actually, like, they're less happier than the person that got bronze.
Oh my god, so the review for an anthology, if you don't get noticed in an anthology review, you got the silver medal.
That's
like actually, getting low-fat ice cream on the pie!
This actually somewhat reminds me of, it was actually a magic discussion about like a tournament where somebody that wins their first seven matches and then loses the next two is going to be more sad than someone who lost their first two matches and won the next seven. Like, ultimately, it depends on where your perspective is. So, where I was thinking with the whole, like, not getting mentioned in reviews is that I've been accepted into a couple anthologies. I've gotten my feet wet
and you've gotten your rejections too,
I'm kind of in a groove.
Right?
And there comes a point where getting a bad review is just as much, or if not more, detrimental than being rejected from something. Is you're getting recognized for the fact that a story you got published sucked. And that stinks.
To be fair, though, you can lean on the editor a bit and go, why didn't you make this better?
But I wouldn't say blame the editor, though.
I'm not going to say that, especially with an anthology.
I would never blame somebody else for a piece of tripe that I've written.
There's also, in all of these editions, there's also the case that can come along where you are in an anthology and you end up in an anthology with people who are, in your mind, significantly better writers, and then you get a review and your story and maybe a couple other people's stories are picked out.
But not the famous people.
But not the famous people.
Oh, he was so adorable.
Take Blood Types, or Blood Type, an anthology I'm in, sci-fi vampires. I'm along Peter Watts, Tim Wagner, Laird Barron. Like, these are people who are...
These are people that Ocean has no idea who they are.
But they're famous horror writers.
Yeah. I'm sure they are.
They're
huge.
Like, they've won awards. They're well recognized. And then there's that one review that comes along that I'm reading along going, this is really good. And the reviewer is just like, yeah, everyone's stories except for Tarl's and Tim Wagner's are kind of just recycling the same thing. Tim Wagner and Tarl, they did the original stories. They did something completely unique and amazing. And you're just going, what the hell are you talking about? Because you don't feel like you've warranted all this praise above people who are your peers and in your head better than you. Which, yeah, like even Bahu, when we were sitting down at Furry, was just like, Tarl's in an anthology with all these famous people. Oh my God. And that was, you know, the bigger pie for me is I'm in this anthology with these famous people. Like, my pie doubled in size when I found that out.
Do you ever see, like, if you get a good review, that you kind of have the opposite effect? That you get the opposite effect if you don't get another one? Kind of in the sense where, like, maybe you build up a bunch of acceptances and then get that rejection and go downhill. Or, you know, once you finally get a good review, is
like
that
if you
not
got,
enough?
Like, if you got a lot of good reviews and then you got a bad one?
Or maybe one day, the next anthology you come out, somebody goes, that was the best story in the whole anthology. Maybe two or three editors. Mm-hmm. And then the next anthology after that, no one even mentions you.
Yeah, see, that would be a bit of... Yeah, that would be much like the acceptance letter.
And then you start, you want to whine, like, what did I do wrong or something? Or
why is this
self-doubt.
Story?
When you get accepted into an anthology... You're essentially filled with a sense of pride going, my story was good enough to make it into here. And then somebody comes along and then goes, why is this story in here? And you just like kind of, yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, you're like, well, what happened? Like,
I thought you let me on the couch.
The story that was good enough is no longer good enough in someone's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, granted, the editor may have thought that your story was good enough or even, like, amazing. But
I've been judged and found wanting.
Yeah. Somebody else comes along and goes, well, this is shit and doesn't belong in here. That feels bad.
Yeah.
Especially when you were initially thinking that your story was good enough to be in with the rest of them.
Well, that could be the case of that steampunk box one that I was talking about.
Where clearly, like, the editor or someone went, like, I think this story can fit. You know, so you can't say that one person, one review takes away all of that. Like,
if it's the only review,
every single review says that, then okay.
But, well, it's like in Supernatural Noir, that story about the child molester, where it was like, I read that going, the only supernatural part of this was this one minor thing. Why is this, you know, like, I understand why this is in here because it's a unique noir, but at the same point, it's like, the supernatural aspect is she can alter her features slightly. Okay. This is completely different than every other story in this anthology. What the hell? But it's in there. And that's a very famous editor who knows what she's doing. So it's in there for a reason.
Well, actually, to go back to does that one negative review take away all that? It has been proven, I forget the numbers, but for every 10 nice things you hear, one nice thing will take it all away.
One negative thing?
Yeah. One negative thing will take it all away.
On the same sense, what happens if you've got 100... people that say, this story shouldn't have been in here, I didn't like the story. And there's one person that goes, that was my favorite story in the anthology.
They're probably your favorite person, and they're probably just as delusional as you are.
Or you may feel like they're humoring you.
Yeah, that's even worse. Yeah. They've read the other 100 reviews, and now they're pitying your ass.
Okay, so there's a funny thing about how negative reinforcement and depression work. It doesn't matter that somebody comes along and says, oh, your story was awesome. If you have 100 other people saying your story is shit, that is a confirmation bias that you cannot look away from.
Okay.
I was also going to mention the whole... it does...
One negative
thing. It is a lot easier to tear something down than it is to build something up.
Mm-hmm.
So what if then there's 100 reviews of the anthology you're in and you're not mentioned in any of them? Now, that's not negative, but again, it's that limbo of was my story fine to crap and they just didn't mention it. And then there's one where they think your story was one of the best ones.
So at that point, I think it would just be a whole bunch of gray and then one light. Yeah. And then I might attempt to lean more towards the light-colored one.
See, that's the thing with having those where there's a review of the anthology and your story is not mentioned. It's one of those cases of where you might have to read between the lines and actually read as to what they're saying. Because if they think overall the anthology was really, really well put together and whatnot, even if they don't mention your story,
they may just still be saying the quality is high anyways.
Yeah, then that's...
And then it goes to that point, well, we have to compare your story anyways.
Yeah, I mean, there's reviews of anthologies like AP where it's like, some of the stories are really, really good, some of the stories really, really aren't, but you're not going to find out which ones are which. I'm going to talk about these other stories. And then, if they leave it like that, then that sucks. Because then you're left wondering, am I one of the better stories or am I one of the worst stories?
I would compare, like, the 100 reviews in which you aren't mentioned. Like, it's almost like a social situation where you may have, like, some people that you talk to, but ultimately there's no one you're really good friends with. You know, you don't stand out, or at least you feel like you don't stand out. And so that's what these hundreds of reviews are. They just make you feel mediocre and not really worth mentioning. And nobody enjoys feeling that way. Then, maybe you have that one review that is the shining light in a sea of gray. The one good review in a sea of gray isn't going to feel like much if for that long you've felt ignored.
Now, we're only talking about anthologies, but this could probably be even more amplified when you just have a novel, because it's just you at that point. And if you're not getting reviews at all, or if you're just getting a bunch of, you know, 3 out of 5s, 2 out of 5s,
with which are still not that, written commentary.
Or even just like, you know, this was okay, it was enjoyable, you might like this if. Like, I can only imagine that's even more personal. So, among all this, like, how does a writer find self-worth in themselves and in what they work? Because we can't just base it on reviews of other people, right? Can we?
Some people do.
But is that a healthy thing to do?
Probably not.
Since when do people do healthy?
Probably not, no.
I mean, reviews are nice, especially when they're positive. Mostly when they're positive. Because they give us a certain amount of feedback, plus make us end up feeling better. Where, especially for a novel, if you're not getting reviews or even stars are at least something. Ratings are something. If you're not getting anything,
they're contextual.
Yes, and it's even worse if, like, say you've got, you know, you're on Smashwords or Amazon, whatnot, and your book is selling, but people aren't reviewing it. Then I think that is possibly one of the worst feelings. I mean, anthologies is one thing because at least it's getting the rest of the anthologies being reviewed. With the novels, and you get that wasteland.
Just sounds like they're. Then it goes back to being fine, right?
Well, it's just.
Even a bad review would be like, well, at least I know they didn't like it.
Exactly. But if you don't have any kind of review, like, it basically ends up leaving you feel like, is anyone actually reading my book, or are they just buying it and shelving it, or what?
Like, ultimately, when we write because we like to, we also publish because we want other people to read it.
Yes.
So, to say that, you know, we exist on our own self-worth and nothing more is...
Bupkiss.
It's not true. We put stuff out in the hopes that other people will read it, that other people will enjoy it. And while we may not need to exist solely on their praise or criticism, as the case may be, like, we want some sort of recognition for the work that we're putting in to provide our writing to other people.
We need some kind of social comment on things we do.
How much recognition is enough, though? Because I'm sure somebody will get one review and they'll be like, I wish more people reviewed. But there's people, again, where it's like, well, I wish someone would review, period. Or
I think that's part of building your social circle, your writing social
your brand circle. Or your followers.
Not even your brand. Like, I'm sure some people look at their writing solely as a business prospect, and some people that view it solely as like I shouldn't have to conform to the man because it's my writing and my identity.
It's my writing style. Don't change it.
But, like, you know, none of us become writers because it's simply a job that we do. We do it because we enjoy it, and it's something that we can potentially make money at. So we want to know how we can improve. We want to know that what we're writing is worth reading, because that's kind of what we're basing our entire business model around. And we want to make other, like, me personally, I want to make other people happy or feel good or whatever range of emotions.
You're writing the wrong stories.
That's exactly right.
Which is why I corrected myself. I want to make people experience a wide variety of emotions.
But yes, you're absolutely correct.
If we didn't want other people to read our work, we wouldn't publish it. So, of course, we expect some kind of recognition.
And there is something as getting too much recognition. I mean, I'm going to...
Just use Kyle.
Well, that's what I was going to use, is Kyle took himself out of the Ursa Majors. There comes a point where I'm sure if you keep winning, you get, you know, it's like, okay, well, I'm in... And I'm probably going to win, so...
Well, it's too much of a good thing. It's no longer a surprise.
Well, because especially when you realize that there's other people out there that, you know, should win the awards or should, you know, get recognition as well. And, I mean, him stepping down from it was a very, very chivalrous thing to do. It was very, you know, very, very kind and very, very nice. And then, of course, look what happened. The next, you know, another good writer... ended up taking home most of the awards. Recognition.
Well, like, just think about how tiresome it would be to, like, oh, I got another Ursa Major. I'll throw it in the pile.
Well, it's...
Or maybe it's just a case of he feels he's dominated the field, and maybe it's time to take himself out of the run so someone else
It's a variety of reasons, and I'm sure that's one of them, but...
I'm sure if we read the blog post, you would know.
there comes a point to which it's no longer special. Well, like the praise and recognition that he gets is no longer a high point in his life.
Well, it's like the one tweet that he got retweeted by or responded to by Neil Gaiman, where he was like, what if Kyle Gold won this award? And Neil Gaiman was like, I'd be ecstatic because Neil Gaiman doesn't need that award because he's already won it a whole bunch of times and would rather someone else got it.
Well, that's why Kyle's trying to break into the the science fiction community versus the furry food community.
And how many times does like the Emmys get made fun of because
everybody's one got an
person,
Emmy?
One person's won like 50 of them, and they're just like, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah,
like they go out and search.
Family Guy makes fun of that tons.
Yeah, like they go out and search for some other form of recognition, and for Kyle, it's expanding outside the fandom. For some other people, it's. But maybe winning a different kind of award or just making more material for people to enjoy.
Or just being reviewed.
But for the rest of us who aren't making awards out of nowhere.
Maybe that review is our review.
I was going to say, the review is a bit of that recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all want to be, maybe not revered, but recognized
to some
degree.
We want our ice cream.
We want our ice cream, yeah.
Which is another great point of why everyone should review more.
Yeah, like, you know, you have your apple pie, and it's so dry, and you're just like, you know how much better this would be with ice cream on it?
But not low-fat ice cream, goddamn you.
No.
But I have heard people complain that's like, oh, the same people that get all the good reviews are the popular people or the same people over and over.
Well, sometimes there's a reason for that.
Well, it's because the thing is especially in our special little snowflake of the fandom, because we have those fan bases, and because much like artists, though not as often, we build fan bases. There are people who absolutely love one writer's work and will purchase just that writer's work and will write glowing reviews of that writer's work and freak out whenever someone writes an honest, lesser than positive review of that writer's work. And I mean, much like outside the fandom with building your base of people, your writing platform, because I mean, as a business model, you are trying to get people into your brand, and you're trying to build a brand that's recognized and that people will continue to purchase. And some furry writers some furry writers do that. Some furry writers could give a shit. And it's just...
Too even.
But I mean, it comes down to, again, why are we all doing this? Is it for recognition? Or do you want to be popular? Do you want to be the next Kyle Gold? I don't think people realize that the amount of work that it takes to get into a level where literally you are in that...
Where section. Everything you write is apparently amazing.
Yeah. It takes a lot of work. And a lot of people want that instant gratification.
Part of me is kind of annoyed when I see people like, oh, they wrote this. This is amazing. I read it and I'm like, I don't really think
agree.
Why do people think this? Like, clearly, am I missing something?
Well, like, if you think about, have you ever been so excited for something that it blinds your critical thinking? Because I know I have. There's a point to which you can either be so excited for someone or so ecstatic that it completely obliterates your ability to be critical. And there comes a point to that where, yeah, you have people that are like, oh my god, this is amazing, or something comes out from like Marvel or DC, and people are like, well, oh my god, yeah, and they completely overlook the like any of the glaring plot holes, or whatever else is wrong with the movie.
Well, it's much like, and I've talked about this before on the anthology, or on the podcast, where, like, Dragonlance. When I read that as a kid, I thought, you know, these people could not do any bad. They were the best books ever. They were the best writers. Holy shit, this is great. Going back now, not quite so much. It's a book written on a RPG. It's full of a lot of glaring issues. And it seems like it's written for people a lot younger than where I am now, which is why it was probably great when I was a kid, but...
Yeah, and I think part of it also is we're editors. It's our job to look for these plot holes and inconsistencies.
Well, it's the amount of beta reading we've done, the amount of writing ourselves done. Like, it's hard not to do that and not start getting to that the ability to read critically.
There's a point to which just losing yourself in the story is not possible, or it's a rare treat.
As Phil said, and I agree and disagree, at the beginning of one of the panels at RF the year before, was he can't read anything past a certain point in time because he can't not edit it. If it's before the certain time, like the 1940s or 1950s or the 1930s, whatever, then he can read it and be fine because the writing style doesn't bug him and he doesn't edit it. But anything after a certain point, he sits there and edits it in his mind.
Which is a great argument for researching your writing. Because, you know, it's like, you know, Jurassic Park, like it's Linux. I know this.
Well, there's...
Like, it's just so unbelievable to anyone that knows what they're doing.
Well, there's a good point is, as everyone already knows, I'm a huge Lovecraft fan. I'm reading a lot of the people who influenced Lovecraft. I'm reading one author's work that he's absolutely was in love with, and it was in, like, I think the 1920s this writer wrote. And it's a story that takes place in this certain area. It's a story that takes place in the Danube. Danube? Anyway, the river. The first, probably half of the story, is just about the river. Explaining how wonderful it is, explaining how beautiful it is, explaining how the river reacts, how it has a personality, and these people's trip down this river and what it was like. That has no real relevance to the rest of the story or the horror aspect of the story. It is literally just setting the scene. Except, unlike today, where we maybe will use a paragraph or two paragraphs, it's half the bloody story talking about a river. So, I mean, it's one of those cases where as time progresses, writing styles also progress. Or I totally didn't make a point at all, but fuck, whatever.
I was going to say, I think we're a little off topic at this point.
Well, we all want...
We all want recognition. We all want to be that someone. It's just human to, you know, feel that you've done something. We obviously craft these works from someplace inside of us. It's. I don't think it's really possible to create something like a story like that and completely be able to cut yourself 100% off from it. You read a lot of authors, like, you'll talk about, like, what character do you relate to? And they're like, well, a lot of them will have a small piece of me inside. So, of course you're being judged. Of course you're going to feel some sort of infliction, be either ignored or praised, and you're going to take that personally. But, you know, it's part of the process, is that...
Well, I attribute it to, like, the gallery syndrome. Being in a gallery showing is the exact same thing as being in an anthology. You have one piece amongst all these other artists, and if no one comments on your piece, then it's like, well, that sucks.
But, sorry, I mean, I know you're about to say something, but at the same time, when you think about the gallery, the anthology, it's not, as it a whole, it's the assemblation.
Assembly?
Yeah, it's the assembly of its pieces that make it a complete piece. Do you really think that if they, although you may not have been commented on, would that whole book same? Would it be what it was supposed to be?
Well, the fact that you weren't commented on is not a bad thing. It means that your story did not stick out bad enough that they commented on it.
Unless the reviewer decided not to say anything bad in the review. But
I'm going to surpass my previous comment and kind of go with your gallery thing. I've had some of my artwork in a gallery, but I've only ever had one piece ever accepted for gallery display. Sorry, I've had two pieces. The first piece, nothing ever happened. I was just ecstatic that it was in there. The second time I was displayed in a gallery, at that point, I guess I started to get greedier. I wanted my pieces to sell. And when they didn't sell, that's when it starts to kick you. And it's the same as with my stories. I've written them. That's fantastic. That's step one. I've been accepted. That's fantastic. That's step two. Step three would be to be reviewed and be under, you know, to get that acceptance, that recognition. I guess it's just like a step program. I
mean,
it's
the same achievement.
Yeah, it's the same with my sculpting. Step one, I figured out the process. Step two, I've succeeded the process. Step three, I'd like some of my stuff to sell. But again, with anthologies and my sculptures, I'm still stuck on silver.
The gallery is a very similar example to being accepted into the anthology, yeah. Obviously. Like, somebody says, yeah, your work is good enough, but then you get to see the direct result of people going, oh, look at that one. And they walk away from your painting. Like, because it has a very similar effect when somebody reviews your anthology and doesn't mention you.
I have gone to gallery showings where I've had a sculptural piece in there and sat and watched for like an hour or 2 hours just to see, and
it is
completely different within an anthology where you actually get to sit there and watch as they walk past your piece, or they stop and look at your piece.
But and the then review they go, that one's like that one over there, and then they waddle off.
The review is the equivalent of that.
Well, yeah, unless you're, we've all had someone sit beside us as they read our story, and we're just kind of like,
what
part was it?
Yeah.
You know,
and it's like showing somebody your favorite movie. You're like, wait till you get to the part that I love most. And then they're like,
are you watching? Are you watching?
Oh, no. Yeah. And they're like talking through the whole damn thing. I'm like, oh, man, I just want to.
Did you see this? Did you see this awesome trailer about Wolf Children? Yeah. No one's watching at all.
I have to edit. Leave me alone. So take it more in stride.
Yeah.
Remember that you've reached a point where you are, whether it's publishing your own novel, even as self-publishing.
Still stuck at silver.
Yeah.
But I mean,
still, that silver comes with a story, does it not?
It really
does. If you have an issue with, especially in our fandom, if you have an issue with not having your story reviewed when an anthology is released and someone reviews it, start reviewing anthologies. Mm-hmm. Either you will understand very quickly why they didn't review every single story in that anthology as you finish the 20th one and decide to sit down and write your review and realize how hard it is, or
you might start a learning curve.
You might start doing the benefit of actually reviewing and helping the fandom progress.
Start a fad.
The fad of reviewing. That would be sad.
A fad sad?
Sad fad.
Very sad fad.
I mean, ultimately, the fandom does need more reviewers to offset the amount of work that's required to adequately review something. And I do think a review is a bit incomplete if you aren't able to address every story. Maybe, like, and addressing could just be, like, these stories were fine, which is why I'm not going to mention them.
Yeah.
No, I think what you said at the beginning where it's like, I'm just going to mention the ones that stuck out the most to me. Right. The other ones
are better. The rest are generally good stories. I really enjoyed them. The quality was really, and that can, I mean.
But there are some reviewers out there who just don't want to say anything bad. And so they're not going to put that because they're going to say the rest of the stories were either good or bad. Yeah. Because then what's the point? So, I don't know.
Like, it seems like these almost need trigger warnings.
Oh, someone slap him for me.
Cut off now.
Like the, I choose not to say anything bad. So that's why it's inadvertently saying I didn't like your story to go, I don't write bad things about stories, so these stories aren't included.
Oh, kind that of would thing. Be even like, worse. Yeah,
no. That'd be such a backhanded thing, like almost.
Yeah, backhanded.
You would at least know why it's not in there.
But you'd still feel like you'd been backhanded.
Yeah.
I think we're starting to hit circles here.
We are. Probably wrap up. Look, it's worse.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I think we tried to wrap it up a while ago, but yeah, you know, what do you guys think?
Send us email for once.
Yeah.
Ooh, you check email. The email?
No, the email's no, dead. No,
you have access to it too.
Contact
no,
us.
No, 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 no.
Twitter, Facebook.
Send us some DMs on Twitter. Send us some DMs on Facebook.
I check the Facebook fairly often.
We check the Twitter.
We check Twitter. Often. Yeah.
There we go. Fangs I've got Facebook.
Fonts. You can't miss it.
I hope not.
You can, though.
By at this point.
We'd love some recognition, so if you want to retweet or pimp us anywhere, review us.
Help us gain more than our silver medal.
Okay. So yeah. other things coming up is...
We have things coming up?
Yeah, we're reviewing Summer King.
Yeah, you guys should finish that.
I've already finished all of them.
I need to finish it.
Me too. I've read all of the books.
Anyway. You've read four.
I want it so bad.
Apparently.
Like just.
But wait, the third one ends on such like a weird way.
Yeah. Actually, to be fair, the second one ended similarly, so.
I'm still waiting for it to get that good. I've read it, I've enjoyed it, but I haven't seen the part where we're just like, ah!
Actually, so I'm still waiting for I'm kind of with him with the School for Good and Evil, how the third book, or the second book ended.
Don't spoil anything for me, please.
So, was it in the first book, the second book, or the third book where you were just completely sold and need to, like, I need to read every piece of this now?
For Summer King?
Yes.
Well, the series. I think...
I don't think I know anyone who's read the first one and just gone, okay.
I've read the first one and I went, okay, I want to continue this because I had it.
Yes.
And then partway through the second one, I wanted to see where the rest of the story was because I need to see where the story goes. But,
Okay, good night, everybody.
Yeah, whoop, good night. Yay. Bye.
Whoop, good night.
Chief Katori editor.
Silly wolf. It's not a paw screen.
It is a touch screen.
Paw screen.
Paw screen.
I can paw it if I want.